Pete?
I'm not godly enough to stand there. Good to be here.
If you don't know me, I am Scott Matheson, that's Di, and I'm the president of the Berean Fellowship of Churches. We're a fellowship of about 55 churches scattered across the United States, and I was a Berean pastor in Mitchell for 19 years and then moved from there to Torrington and started a new church there, and we were there 5 years, and then the Berean Fellowship asked if I would become president. And I had absolutely no desire to be president of the Berean Fellowship of Churches, but made the mistake of praying about it. And God called us to this position. So now Di and I travel around to a different church every weekend, inspiring and influencing God's people to pursue Christ's plan for their life and their plan for the church. Many churches today are struggling because they put personal preferences over the mission of the church. And any church that has a collection of people where the majority of the people put their personal preference for how they think church ought to do over the mission of the church ends up dying. So we are on mission to help churches be on mission about reaching lost people with the gospel. Right, there are lost people in this community who, if they died today, face a Christless eternity in hell. And we need churches who are on mission to reach them with the gospel and see them become authentic disciples of Jesus. And so that's what we do. I love this church. I was just thinking, I think I shared my testimony back in like 1991 at a men's deal. I started speaking here. And so through the years, some of you have been around a long time, have heard me speak and are dreading it now. Man, I got to crying during that first song. One of my dear friends from Torrington that I had the privilege of leading to Christ got tragically killed yesterday afternoon. And his wife called me, and it's just a crazy situation that I can't go into details, but thank God he came to Christ, but I just ache for his widow. I ache for his boys, and I'll probably be involved in doing his funeral. And so it just hit me again, and I so wanted to go right there, but I knew I needed to come here. But we'll head back to Torrington probably this week for his funeral. So if you see me, I'm a little emotional because he was a dear friend. See part of my notes, but yeah, we were at a roping. This guy and I were at a roping, and the draw messed up. The computer messed up the draw, and he said, "Well, I'll be GD'd." And then he said, "Oh, I'm sorry, Pastor. I shouldn't use that language around you, since you're a pastor." And I said, "You know, you don't have to answer to me for that language. You got to answer to God for that." He said, "That's a good answer." And now he would tell you if he was still alive, he said, that gnawed on him for months. I don't have to answer to Pastor Scott for that. I have to answer to God for that. And eventually he came to Christ. And it's been a joy the last few years to see him growing in Christ. And I'm aching for his widow, but I'm rejoicing that he's in heaven. And he decided at an older age, and a very intellectually brilliant man, he examined and came to faith in Christ. And so that is a really amazing thing, that he's in heaven, even though it's tragic and hard. Well, I'm convinced that one of the reasons he grew in Christ and became committed to the local church is because he got encouraged. I encouraged him, and other people in our congregation encouraged him. Today I want to talk about encouragement. You've been handed one of my handy-dandy outlines, and a common denominator to emotional and spiritual and even physical health is people receiving regular encouragement. And encouragement ought to be really part of the fabric of everyday Christian existence. It really, seriously, intentional, specific encouragement ought to be part, if this church is going to maintain health and maintain seeing lost people get saved and saved people growing, there needs to be a continued culture of specific intentional encouragement in a local body. Encouragement. Let's just break down the word. Encourage. E-N. Encourage starts with E-N. The English prefix E-N. Do you know what E-N means? E-N means to put into or to cover with. So anytime in a lot of words in our English language, when you see N, E-N, it means to put into or to cover with. So we are to put into or cover other people with courage. What's courage mean? It means mental and moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, and difficulty. Did you get that? I'll slow down. The definition for courage is mental and moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, and difficulty. So when we see the word encourage, E-N means to put into or cover with, and we are to put courage into people, which is mental and moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, and difficulty. You and I are called to be encouragers. If you're a Christian and you're here today, you are to be an encourager. And so we're just going to look really simply at this handy-dandy outline and go through it real quickly, and then I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of my sermon, because it's going to be a short sermon, to encourage one another. Like, stand up right here and intentionally, specifically, and encourage someone in this room. Okay? Gulp. Think we can get that done in Podunk Pleasant Point Church, Nebraska? I think we can. Okay? So be thinking about that. So we're going to look at why we should be encouraged people. We're going to look at who should be our encouragers. And we're going to look at how do we actually encourage people. Real simple outline. So why should we encourage? Number one, because nothing is easier than sinning. Maybe it doesn't happen up here in Pleasant Point, but to me it's pretty easy to sin. Maybe you guys are different and it's hard for you to sin. But we need encouragement because nothing's easier than sinning. Hebrews 3:13 says, "But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called the day, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Why should you be a person who lives a lifestyle of encouragement? Because you fight sin, and everybody else fights sin, and if we don't receive regular encouragement according to this verse, we can be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We are to encourage one another daily so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. I am convinced that some people, there probably are people in this community who used to be part of Pleasant Point Community Church, doing well in their walk with God, but somehow got neglected in being intentionally, specifically encouraged, and they're hardened by the deceitfulness of sin and are now far away from God and His church. Every community has them. This probably is an exception. Why should we encourage? Number two on your outline, because it's easy to fade off from life-giving Christian community. It's easy to drift away from Christ and His church. Because it's easy to fade off from life-giving Christian community. Listen again to Hebrews chapter 10. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, and let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Maybe there are people, again, in this community who faded off from living in life-giving Christian community because they haven't received encouragement. Thirdly, of why we should encourage, because for some of us, it's our spiritual gift. God, through His Spirit, gives some people in His body this unique, specific gift of encouragement. Do you have one or two of those in this congregation? Usually every congregation has one. I remember we had this guy at Mitchell. His name was Bob. Remember Bob Awe? He might call me at 4:30 in the morning. Pastor, I just want to encourage you. I did his funeral, and there were hundreds of people at the funeral, and I asked at his funeral, I said, how many people were specifically, intentionally encouraged by Bob? And like 7/8 of the congregation people there gathered were like, yeah, Bob encouraged me. It was his spiritual gift. Some of you have that unique spiritual gift where it's just in your, hardwired by the Holy Spirit into the very fabric of your life that you are to be an encourager. Romans 12:8 says that if your gift is encouraging, then do it. Be an encourager. Fourthly, why we should encourage on your outline? Because we get tore down by the wrecking ball of life. Because we get tore down by the wrecking ball of life. We live in a fallen world that's hard and lonely. And we live in this media-saturated world that is producing loneliness and anxiety at unprecedented levels. We think we're more connected than ever, but the reality is that we're more lonely than ever. Anxiety and depression and discouragement are skyrocketing, even amongst Christians, I believe, because they're not receiving regular intentional encouragement. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Encourage one another and build each other up. Who do you need to encourage today? Have you fallen out of the habit of regularly specific, intentional encouragement into the very fabric of your existence? Why should we encourage? Because we need it, and you get encouragement when you encourage others. Well, we need to ask ourselves, who should be encouraging me? I think that's something we need to know. Who should be encouraging me? So the next part of your outline, who should be encouraging me? Number one, God should be encouraging you. Listen to the word of the Lord. Romans 15:5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity amongst yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. Who should be encouraging me? Are you letting God encourage you today? Some of us stiff-arm God. Secondly, who should be encouraging me? Jesus. This is pretty simple, I know. Matthew 11:28-30, listen to the words of Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. It could literally be translated in English. You will find encouragement for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Who should be encouraging me? God the Father, God the Son, and number three on your outline, God the Holy Spirit. Listen to the word of the Lord found in Acts 9:31. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. So we see one God eternally existing in three distinct persons who all encourages. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amazing. Who should be encouraging you? Fourthly, your Bible. God's living, inerrant, inspired Word. God wrote a book. It's called the Bible. He carried human authors to write it, but He has revealed Himself to us. If you want to, God and His Word cannot be separated, okay? The Bible's not a book about God. It's a book by God. God wrote a book. He has revealed Himself to us in His Word, the Bible, and it should be a major source of encouragement. Listen to the Word of the Lord found in Romans 15:4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the encouragement and the endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Maybe you don't have hope today because you're not letting God through His Word encourage you. And ultimately, all these are tied right in together. Fifthly, who should be encouraging me? Other Christians. Other Christians should be encouraging you. Hebrews 3:13, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. And again, we can have the attitude of, well, other Christians are supposed to be encouraging me. That president of the fellowship said that. I ain't getting any encouragement today. If you have that attitude, you're not going to get a lot of encouragement. You'll be pretty discouraged. Encouragement feeds on itself. You receive encouragement when you give it. But other Christians should be encouraging. Again, who do you need to encourage today? Who do you need to put into? Who do you need to invest into? And then number six on your outline under who should be encouraging you, your spiritual leaders, your pastors and elders need to be encouraging you. In Titus 2:15, a pastoral epistle, it says, these then are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Spiritual leaders should be constantly encouraging God's people. Not just rebuking them, but encouraging them. Well, how do I encourage? How do I do this? Well, number one on the third section of your outline, get saved and then serve. Maybe you're here and you don't yet know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you're sitting here, and even right now as I begin to talk about salvation, you get a little nervous. Blood rushing to your head, like, oh boy. Maybe you could tell another story or something. Maybe you're not right with a holy God and you face a Christless eternity in hell. You don't turn from sin and Satan and turn from selfishness and society and turn to the Savior and believe in Him. Maybe you need to accept Christ today and be born again and then begin to serve in a local church. We see this in Acts chapter 9 where Saul, who becomes the Apostle Paul, gets saved and almost immediately begins to share the gospel. And it was a huge encouragement to the church. When local churches see lost people come to faith in Christ and begin to serve, it is a huge encouragement, isn't it? 2/3 of the churches in the United States of America are plateaued or declining. The other third that are growing, most of the growth is from Christians transferring from one church to the other. There is very little conversion growth going on in the United States of America. Very few people are coming to faith in Christ. We're going backwards amongst born-again Christians in this nation. And we need to see revival. And so if you're here today and you don't know Christ, right now, as I'm preaching away, you can be like, God, I don't know if I get all this, but I know I need to turn from my sin and turn to the Savior Jesus. And I believe that He died for me, that He rose from the dead for me, and that that I need to believe in Christ. And God will save you right now, even as I'm preaching. And you'll be born again. And as you begin to acknowledge that and go all in for Christ and begin to serve in His church, it is an encouragement to God's people. Churches that are seeing lost people get saved and growing are healthy and alive. Churches that are filled with just old Christians and no one's ever getting saved, they turn inward and they get self-focused and it becomes about their personal preference and their music style and their preaching style and building style, and we can't change anything or do anything, we've always done it that way. And they get miserable, but like constipated water rats, and the church just begins to die. But churches who are like, no, I'm going to live above myself, and we're going to be a church that reaches lost people and sees them come to faith in Christ. There is a dynamic health that begins to occur in that local church. It's amazing. But too many churches are not seeing enough people get saved. They're not seeing anybody get saved. Follow the Lord in baptism. And so they become self-focused and self-preferenced. And miserable. So, I don't know how I got all that out of number one, but by golly, I did. How do I encourage number two on your outline? Be faithful. Be faithful in corporate worship gathering like this. Be faithful to the Word of Christ. Romans 1:12 says that Paul says, I want to come see you in Rome that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Isn't it amazing? I see you guys, some of you, I've been coming to this church off and on for years and years, and man, I see you guys, and you're an encouragement. It encourages me to see you guys, you know? And people who are just here every once in a while, you know, it's hard. And so I just encourage you to be faithful. Third on your outline in that third section, how do I encourage? Be loving of others. Love others. Philemon, in Philemon verse 7, it says, your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. When we love each other, it's a huge encouragement. So how do you encourage? You love others, you're faithful, you get saved, and then sermon number 4 in your outline, through unity. Through saying, you know what? This church doesn't exist for my personal preference, or this church doesn't exist because I want it to stay the same like it was in 1975 or 85 or 95 or whatever. It has to, we can't do anything different. No. The mission of the church takes precedence over my personal preferences because we need to see lost people get saved. When Di and I went to Mitchell Berean Church in 1992, it was 25 people. And it was like walking back into 1965, the building and the people. And we began to grow, and there was this young man, he got saved. He was drumming in a bar band. He came to Christ, and I said, Brian, you need to start playing drums for Jesus now that you're a Christian. So boy, he'd be coming into church, and he'd throw his cigarette down right outside the church. I'd go put it out for him. And he'd thrash around on them drums, about break your eardrums. So, after the first Sunday, Dorothy, old Dorothy, been there since the church started, toddles up to me with her cane. I'm like, here it comes. She said, you know what, Pastor? Drums aren't really my thing. But I've prayed too hard and too long for young people to get saved in this church to complain about drums. I'll just turn my hearing aids down. And Dorothy's attitude of saying her personal preference didn't take precedence over the mission of reaching lost people permeated that church. And that church is still known today as the Miracle in Mitchell. Okay? There'll be 1,000 or 1,200 people gather this weekend there over 3 different services. Because Dorothy said, listen, my personal preference might not be drums in a corporate worship gathering, but that young man who was serving Jesus, who eventually became our youth pastor, took precedence over her personal preference. Unity in the non-essentials in a local church builds a vibrancy into the local church. We all have our personal little deals about how we like corporate worship or buildings to go, that we have to hold on really loosely in order to reach lost people. And again, I am not saying the message of Christ should ever change. But our methodology just has to. It just does. Methods are many, but the message stays the same, and methods have to adapt according to the changing local subculture. And when God's people are united in spirit and intent on one purpose of seeing lost people get saved and saved people growing, which every local church really, it's what you need to be about. That's why you exist. You don't exist because there's a building here or a cemetery here because of the past history of Pleasant Point Community Church. You exist to reach lost people and see them become disciples of Jesus. That's your sole focus. Okay? Doesn't exist because you want to keep up tradition. You exist to reach lost people, see them get saved, and save people growing. That is the essence of vibrant, healthy, life-giving churches. Philippians 2 says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. How do I encourage you? Put aside your personal preferences and be united in the mission of the local church to reach lost people and see them get discipled. And then, how do I encourage? Please remember, number 5. How do I encourage? Remember, this world is not our home. This world's not our home. Guys, Jesus could come back like today. Like right now. Wouldn't that be amazing? Boom, we'd all be raptured, huh? I hope I'm not stepping on any theological toes here, but and those of you who'd ignored me about talking about your salvation, you'd be left behind. You'd be like, ooh, they were right. But can you imagine Jesus is coming back? This world's not our forever home, folks. We're one of the first generations in Christianity's history to forget and be so focused on our best life now that we forgot about heaven. And folks, as our world changes and as our culture changes and we're going to experience more persecution, I believe God is going to allow His people to endure more persecution in the United States for our faith. It's going to refocus us on, oh, okay, so it's hard. And I'm getting persecuted for my faith and stance for truth. But you know what? Heaven's my real home. I've been all over the world, man. When I'm in India with those believers who are facing amazing persecution, their focus is on heaven. They just accept that life's supposed to be hard. When I was in the rainforest of Panama amongst the Cuni Indians, and my fellow Pastor Alfonso, his dad, who was the chief of the village, just told him the week before, "You're no longer my son since you follow God's way." And Alfonso was like, oh yeah, I know, it's supposed to be hard. The Lord just told me in His Word that it's supposed to be hard. You see, we're so messed up, if someone, you know, disagrees with us, we think they're our enemy. Which is so bogus. We're going to be persecuted for our faith, and that's why we need to remember that this world's not our home. And that's why in Paul's words in 1 Thessalonians, where he's talking about Christ coming back, he says, and he encapsulated, like, Christ's going to come back, and we're going to be gone, translated, and, you know, bam, boom. He says, therefore, encourage each other with these words. Sometimes, when I get my shorts in a wad and I'm all discouraged and, you know, I've lost focus. It's all about what's happening to me in this world. And I need other believers to say, hey, preacher man, you know, this is just a little tiny blip on our whole existence. I get all consumed with things of this world. And I need to remember my eternity is in heaven. And we need that, don't we, as believers? And not, don't do it meanly. Don't be like, hey, you're so stupid. You've got your, you know. No. But we need to remind each other sometimes. Hey, this world isn't our permanent home. We're going to heaven. Someday there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And there's like no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears there, no more cancer, no more finance problems, no more anxiety, no more depression. Wow, it's going to be awesome. Can you imagine? It's going to be so cool. So, I am on a mission that God's people learn to keep growing, no matter their age, into specifically, intentionally encouraging each other, okay? So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to open it up. Maybe there's someone here you want to encourage. Maybe you want to encourage your spouse. Maybe you want to encourage a friend here. Maybe you want to encourage one of your kids. Maybe you want to encourage one of the leaders of this church. Maybe you, I don't know. But would you have the guts to stand up and loud enough for everybody here say, I want to encourage so-and-so for this. Okay? You think we could do that? If no one talks to me, I'll just sit here like, you know, wax figures. I'll just pray again and we'll go home, okay? And hope no one slices my tires on the way out. So, as I'm praying, I'm going to actually be a little bit quiet during my prayer. I know that's hard for some of you to believe, but I'm going to be a little quiet. And during the quiet part, when I'm not talking, you say, God, reveal to me who I could encourage today. Now, I know not everybody's going to get up and encourage someone else, right? And the rule is like, if two people encourage Gordon, that's it. No more. No more, no more than two people, not just Gordon, but two people over anybody, okay? So, did I make that make sense, Di? Okay, God, we love you because you first loved us. Oh, I love this church and this community. Oh, Lord, this church still has a purpose and a plan. And Lord, there's a unique dynamic when you lose a long-term pastor and there's this convulsion of how to figure it out again. And so this church needs encouragement, and I want to be that encourager. That they're going to make it. That they're going to find a godly pastor who will shepherd them again. So I pray that. God, would you reveal to us who we need to encourage? Help us overcome our fear or anxiety about that. And just, Lord, reveal right now to us who we ought to encourage. Thank you. And Lord, as we continue on with this encouragement, Lord, may we just have a freedom here. This is what authentic churches do. They intentionally, specifically set aside times of corporate encouragement. I know it's not always the most normal thing, but it's a good thing and it's a godly thing. So Lord, as we continue to do this, lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. So who wants to go second, since our dear sister just encouraged Angela? Was it who? Andrea? That was awesome. Thank you.
I'll pick on your adventure to come so far to sacrifice for them kids. And for me to say, if you're a Jew, you're a friend of the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, we... Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Ken.
I'd like to encourage the board members. I think that God placed you guys on the board for three members. And God reached out ahead of you. So,
thank you. Amen. Thank you. Yes. Jason?
Or?
Amen. That's good. Yep.
I'd like to encourage Jill and Tanner, Nathan, and Jerry. You don't know what a blessing you guys are to the rest of us, and encouragement to see you and your kids.
Amen.
Thanks for stealing my
encouragement. Oh, now we're going to have a church fight. This cool thing. Thank you. Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Amen.
I encourage everyone to think about the unity of the church and things that we need to focus on to reach out more, maybe to the oncoming, and I'm just pray for the all of the members of the church to individually think of some special way that they can for the phone call or but in the planning we can do on the board show. So I hope there's a lot that could be done with some of the revival meetings and we need to do a lot in planning. Your reminder of the great stuff and the new plans and all the points mentioned and being faithful because if you don't put the first thing first,
Yeah, number one statistically, number one reason people don't come to a corporate worship gathering like this, no one asks them. It's amazing how, you know, we think that we can put it on Facebook or Hint or whatever, but specific intentional invitation is still the most effective. So, yep. Great. Thank you for this precious church family. I thank you for the privilege of being here, and I just love these people so much. Lord, we do want to be people of yours because you're the great encourager. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, through your word and through your people, that we want to be encouragers and put into people and cover them with moral perseverance and all those things. So, Lord, I just thank you for this special time we've had of encouragement. I pray your blessing on these people. And again, I ask that you would grant them a godly pastor who would lead in purity and faithfulness to your word and lead this church, seeing lost people get saved and saved people growing. For your glory, Jesus Christ. In your name I pray. Amen.